You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening to The Real Short Box. My name is Donald, and I am here with comic book debonair Caleb Porter. Caleb, say hello.
I do my best. Thank you so much, Donald.
No problem. Thanks for being here, buddy. I appreciate it. For those of you that don't know, Caleb has been on here. I think this is his third or fourth time now.
Yeah, I think so.
On this podcast. One of the favorite guests of mine, always down the clown. It's always a good time. So thank you again for being on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sure. And this segment is actually another great one. It is a What Creases Our Pages. What Creases Our Pages podcast segment. This is the one where we just go off about a subject. And this one's very unique because this is something that I am very in tune to. And Caleb doesn't know all the ins and outs of. So I'm going to be explaining it to him as I explain it to you guys. We're talking about acetate gate. Those that don't know what acetate gate is, it's like the Watergate scandals of comic books. This is a big one.
I am so ready because you told me the topic. I did not even go online to look it up. I'm going in so virginal, like I may as well, you know, be wearing my diapers.
That's a bad this tactic, is awesome.
Like, never mind.
But I get it.
I have no idea what this is. So let's rock.
Okay, so. Basically, a few weeks ago, Chicago Comic Con, it was C2E2, happened, right? And at the convention, Clayton Crane was there. And Clayton Crane is an artist. He's done a lot of stuff for Marvel and things like that.
Yeah, I heard his name with Carnage.
Yes, exactly. And he had done a little work, I believe, with this company called Black Flag. So Black Flag, what they did was they created an acetate cover, an exclusive limited edition. I believe it was 500 to 750 copies. I think it was 750 copies only of a special Ultimate Fallout number 4, my first appearance of Miles Morales. And it had an acetate cover. You flip the cover on it. What he's doing, Miles, instead of just having I think it was his mask in his hand or Spider-Man's mask or something. He has the American flag folded up in his hand. And then there's like a piece of a flag along the side and stuff. It honestly, it looks like hot trash. It just doesn't look classy. It looks like somebody that's really proud of America and they put America all over everything, you know?
Oh, and okay, so the other way. Okay.
Right. So what happened is it comes to find out that we all came to find out actually kind of together is that this comic book was not approved with an acetate cover. Meaning what happened is the company Black Flag took 750 Miles Morales Ultimate Fallout number 4 reprints and stapled with an additional two staples in the book, an acetate cover to this reprinted book of Ultimate Fallout number 4.
And this acetate cover is like that plastic sheet that was over the Marvel books.
Absolutely, yes. That's right, exactly okay. What it is. It's like a, you know, kind of a clear cover, but part of it's painted. So if you put it over a cover, whatever you know, so they painted the flag on the plastic. So when you fold it over the cover, it looks like Miles is holding a flag instead of whatever he was holding, which I believe was a mask.
Okay. Kind of like an animation cell.
Exactly. Like an animation cell, almost exactly like that. Yeah. So basically we come to find out that this is not an approved by Marvel or Disney cover of Ultimate Fallout number 4. Now, Black Flag made 750 of these. This isn't the best part or the worst part, by the way.
Oh,
now,
wow,
this book has four staples in it. So you're thinking, wow, many comic books have four staples. Exactly. And that means that the comic book has been damaged, which means that it should technically get a purple label or a green label. I think it's a purple label is what it should be getting, if I recall, showing that it's had some damage to it, you know, something to try to fix it, some repairs or something like that. Right. So,
okay. If you get it graded.
Right. So what happens is people that got a hold of this book, took it to CGC and got it graded. And some of them were coming back 9.9s being graded. They were getting them legit graded by CGC, and CGC was approving of it, not saying that it was a a falsified comic book, basically, like a
I'm thinking like jury rigged or just
something like, basically this book shouldn't exist and should be valued at worthless, like, because it'd be like if you and I drew a comic book cover and then just stapled it to one of our favorite comic books and sold it for $75 a piece, which is what they cost, by the way. They cost $75 each. So CGC graded them, and now some of them are up on eBay for thousands of dollars. And you can see that. You can go to eBay and you can look up Ultimate Fallout number 4 Black Flag acetate cover, or you can just look up Ultimate Fallout number 4, and I'm sure one of those covers will pop up because of the algorithm.
So Donald, what is Black Flag? Is a company that produces non-Marvel comic books?
Black Flag's kind of just like a bullshit booth. What is that one that used to make the DC action figures and stuff? Graffiti Design.
Oh, okay. So just kind of like a third party. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so like kind of slimy to just throw on some plastic. And like, what a callback, you know, like the acetate covers, that was like, what, 20 years ago?
Well, they're popular again. They're kind of getting popular again.
Man, everything old is new again. Okay.
Yeah.
I do not want poly bags to come back, by the way.
No?
I hope that doesn't happen.
Nobody wants the poly bags to come back. Nobody wants that. I hope. I mean, I really do hope not. But, second here. I just got a check. Trying to see with 100% certainty. Black Flag. Here we go. It's Infinite Black Publishing is a comic book publisher, but also a design agency set up by Black Flag Comics and Clayton Crane. So that's what they are. So
this is Clayton Crane's like side hustle.
So I mean, he's associated with it, but I don't think he's like the I could be wrong, but I don't think he's the owner of this.
Oh, okay.
But he does have a lot of involvement in it, which is going to sully his name pretty good, unfortunately for him. But yeah, anyway, so CGC grades these books, and then it comes back that these books are they're fraudulent books. They're not real books. They've been damaged, and they shouldn't have been graded technically, because CGC doesn't grade books that aren't legit. They're supposed to be grading books that are just approved by companies that were made, you know. So if they're a forgery or somehow a falsified book, like a damaged book or something, they either should be grading it with a purple label or they shouldn't be grading it at all. It just depends on like that fine line.
Mm-hmm.
So they grade it, they give it a blue label, and they grade it even with the four staples at 9.8, 9.9. And people are making buku bucks off this. Now it gets worse. Believe it or not, it gets worse.
Okay.
So what happens is Black Flag reaches out to the influencers. So we're talking everybody's favorite little prep boy, Comic Tom. We're talking about the Golden Age Guru. We're talking about Nerdy Girl. We're talking about, you know, a bunch of the others that are so-called influencers in the comic book community, although they've never influenced me to do anything but be angry. So they get in line then in a separate line, and they put the influencers ahead of everybody else, and they let them buy as many copies as they want. One of the influencers, I believe, bought 100 copies from what I was told. So dropped $750. And started selling them on Whatnot. Now, Whatnot is a selling platform. Whatnot has basically been propping up a lot of these influencers. So they let them run on their channel. Comic Tom is one of them. Sells a lot of stuff through Whatnot. So Whatnot was there. And when they found out, they sent all their influencers over there to go get this book. So they get almost all the copies of the damn book, like the 750 copies. They probably walk out, and I'm just guesstimating here, probably like 600 copies or something between all the influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that had been standing in line forever at Black Fly to get this book, 95 to 90% of these people get shut out of getting the comic. So they're not able to get the comic book. So they're pissed off because they see these influencers line up on the other side or walk ahead of them and get this book that they've been waiting in line for and then begin to flip it. So we all know the story now of the four staples and it being a fraudulent comic. And so now what happens is you have all these pissed off people watching these Black Flag comic books that they were in line for, these exclusives being sold by the influencers through a platform that sent the influencers over, which is Whatnot, for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think they were selling them for 700 to a grand each, right? Making the money. So they were all making a profit, and Whatnot was making a profit also because they got a percentage of the sales. The more money you make, the higher the percentage probably they got from the sales. So they were selling on there. And what happens is the people that got shut out, they start going, hey, this is bullshit. What? Why is this book, you know, I was in line, I was trying to get it. Why did they get ahead of me? That's not fair. And then they start digging a little bit and they're like, wait a minute. There's four staples in the book? Wait a minute. Why would there be four staples? This was approved by Marvel. Wouldn't Marvel have done the staple of the acetate cover with the actual book itself? Wouldn't it have stapled it all together and there'd just be two staples? Why is there four? So they start digging more and more and more. Come to find out it hasn't even been approved by Marvel. Hasn't been approved by Disney. Hasn't been approved by anybody. These guys just took it on themselves to create a cover and staple it to the damn book.
Wow.
So you have
it's like insider trading or something.
Right. You have a booth selling counterfeit comic books, which was the phrase I was looking for 15 years now. Counterfeit comic books. You have a grading company that's grading these comic books of blue labels when they shouldn't be. You have a selling platform selling these comic books when they shouldn't be, because they're not supposed to be selling counterfeit product, period. It's written in their mission statement. And you have all these influencers selling it and pushing it as the next biggest thing since, you know, buttered bread, as far as like something you have to have and something you need. So it creates this perfect storm. And all these assholes, these influencers that were like, you know, they could piss and people would jump underneath to try to get a golden shower. suddenly, all these people start turning on them. Thousands of comic book sellers on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, on, you know, even on Whatnot, start abandoning the Whatnot platform, stating that they're not going to support that kind of behavior.
Good.
Thousands of people start writing like comments on Nerdy Girl's page telling her, hey, why would you do that? Why would you, you know, tell everybody this was an exclusive cover when this is a counterfeit comic book? You just sold everybody a bunch of shit. You've sold them all bullshit and you've made thousands of dollars in profit off of this. You're a con artist. And then they're like, oh, so then what happens is all the influencers start creating different stories. Nobody can get their story straight. It's all different. Oh, well, I got one copy for me, but then I got 74 other copies for 74 of my closest friends that couldn't be here and that reached out to me. And I thought that I would just get it for them.
Wow, how convenient.
Like, right. And then they're like, well, how come you sold it on Whatnot then for like $700 each? Oh, well, I had a few copies left. So a couple of people didn't want them or whatever. You know what I mean? Just bullshit, bullshit, right. Bullshit, lies, lies, lies. It's all these young kids trying to, you know, wiggle their way out of being caught in a scandal that they would have never even seen coming in 1,000 years, you know. So It was all, this has all been insane. So now what happens is they go to eBay and they start trying to sell on eBay. So now people on eBay are bidding up the books to hundreds of thousands of dollars, like 10,000, 100,000, whatever, you know, just like thousands upon thousands of dollars they're bidding for these books. Probably hundreds of thousands is a bit of an overestimate, but I'm excited. So it's thousands of dollars they're bidding these comic books up for. And then when the bid ends, they're not paying.
Oh, so
they keep doing it to these people that are trying to sell them so they can't sell these counterfeit books. So now they're stuck with a book that they paid money for that they can't sell to anybody because people keep abandoning the purchase because they know it's counterfeit and they don't want it.
That sounds like justice to me.
Absolutely. And this, all of this is what you missed. So it gets to the next convention is in Boston, and Black Flag's going to be there. And not only is Clayton Crane as exclusive supposed to be there, he's got a Ghost Rider cover. They also have another cover, and I can't remember which one it was. It was like an In God We Trust or something cover, I guess, or some crap like that. So they were going to sell another type of acetate cover on their books. So people showed up in droves, ready to fucking pounce. So guess what happens? Black Flag doesn't show up. They don't show up. They put some banners up, right? And then they leave out some dum-dum suckers on their table. And people all start to guess and say, wait, did somebody like put these on the table, or did Black Flag come out and put these suckers? And what does that mean? Are they calling us dum-dums? Are they saying we're suckers?
Right.
And then that creates even more controversy for Black Flag and even more disdain. So pretty much, I feel like this company is going to go out of business. All the influencers, like the heavy hitters, have tarnished their names across the board. People don't want anything to do with them. And the Whatnot platform has thousands of people that have left them in droves because they're selling fraudulent books and because they had people purchase those knowing fully well that there were four staples in the damn book and it wasn't licensed.
Oh my God.
And then CGC's taking a hit now, and they're like, well, what's the credibility of a grading company if they can't even tell a fraudulent book right when it has four goddamn staples and is right in front of their nose?
Oh, man, this is like a swarm of bees, and just everybody attached to it is just getting like stung.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like everybody drank out of the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure Clayton's going to be fine because, you know, he's an artist and, you know, he can do good art and he can just keep his head down and do that. You know, he doesn't even have to put his name on shit if he doesn't want to, you know, and can just get some work done and do some stuff. So I think he'll be all right. I think ones that are really going to be hurt are Black Flag. I think Black Flag is probably going to be done. I mean, you know, in general. So that company and anybody that worked for that company are probably just over with. That's going to end. Like, no one's going to trust them. Their credibility in the comic book industry is fucking shot. So we'll see what happens.
I looked up the cover.
Uh-huh.
I looked up the cover while we were talking, and yeah, it looks pretty tacky.
Right?
Just kind of looks floppy and just kind of gross, you know?
That's what I don't get. You tell somebody you have a limited to 750 comic book, Clayton Crane's involved, it's an acetate cover, it's Miles Morales, then you have the perfect storm. They don't care what there could have been one of those poop emojis with that smiles at you all over the car. You could have been holding one of those.
Right.
And people would have been like, I will pay $75 for that.
Yeah.
And you're like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. You're gonna pay $75 for that piece of shit? But people did. They lined up in droves. And they almost all of them got shut out because the influencers bought them out and sold them. And what a bunch of greedy pricks, like legit greedy fucking pricks, that you're going to do that. You walk over, you know it's limited to a certain amount. They've told you this. You look at the line, you see all the people that have been standing in line, and you go in and you buy like 50 or 100 of them.
And knowing my time with comic conventions, you know, any line is usually like 50 people plus.
Yeah.
So it's not like
an hour,
like 10 people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it was
and
hours
there's only so
long.
Many hours in a Comic-Con that you have to waste it in line. It's it's pathetic. You know, it's not fair to those people. Dang.
So
that's crazy.
Like, hopefully some of these influencers, their careers are done. Like, that's the hope for me anyway, personally. I hope that some of their careers are just fucking over. Like, because I'm tired of hearing about them. I don't care about them. I don't care what they have to, what they're shilling. I don't care what they're, what trash they're flinging at me. I mean, look, you can talk about hot comic books, but if you go, oh, Amazing Spider-Man number one is a hot book right now. No fucking shit, dipshit. Like, it's literally the second appearance of Spider-Man and, you know, the first appearance of the Chameleon and, you know, just a great
and the
cover.
Whole supporting cast, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, so yeah, it's a hot book. It's like saying that Superman number one is going to, you know, someday take off. Kiss my ass.
Keep your eyes out for this Batman guy. I think he's going to be pretty hot.
Yeah, I think he might go some places. Might go some places, guys. Keep an eye on this book. It's like, you know, first of all, who the fuck's going to be able to afford it? Why are you even talking about it?
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, I'm the what I guess you would call the gentleman scout. I go in and I look for books that people can affordably obtain and talk about it, knowing that people's wallets are, you know, usually tight. Not everybody has thousands of dollars to spend. It's just the way it is.
Well, to my knowledge, you were one of the first guys I heard of that kind of created the second place, second appearance, and third appearance kind of market. You know, I've never heard of that until I started talking to you, you know, like, you know, and it just makes sense because like first appearances are priced out of like basically 99% of the market share, you know, they just can't touch it. So you just kind of go with the next best thing.
Right. So which is the second appearance. Yeah. Or the third appearance. Thank you. And, you know, it just made common sense to us, to Kevin, Jarrett, myself at the time. That probably we can't afford the first appearance of this character, let's get the second. Can't afford the second, all right, let's get the third. Afford the third, all right, let's get the first appearance of this guy meeting this other guy, you know. And then when that happens in the movies or in the show or something, then there's some value, there's an uptick there, and then I can sell high, you know, when I bought low. It's just like basically to me comic books are like the stock market. It's very easy to follow the trend. You just have to look and see what's hot now, kind of look towards what can be hot in the future, of course, why this book is hot now, what can make something related to it hot later, and just go from there, you know, just kind of try to figure that out.
The best part is you're in it. You're in this world, you know, you're not an outsider. You're not some interloper. You know, you've been a lifelong comic book reader, so you understand the balance and the relationships of these characters. So,
I wasn't created in a lab. I was, in line with everybody else when Superman died, and I wanted that issue. You know, that's just the way it is. I'm showing my age there, sure, but you know, it just shows with age. You know, I don't want to brag, but with age comes a little knowledge anyway about things, and you can oftentimes see the ebb and flow and the trend. It's like everybody I saw on comic book panels. On Facebook and stuff, little comic book groups and things, CGC groups and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, you know, people are saying that that the market's going to fall, the comic book market's going to take a dip." And you see hundreds of people commenting, and they're like, "No, that's not true. That's not going to happen. What do you mean a dip?" And it's like, "Yes, it's going to happen, dumbass.
Yeah,
it will happen. There is going to be a dip. Anytime there's a high, there's going to be a lower than that high. It's just
you know, of course.
There will be a dip, and that's in any comic book. Sure, you know, for example, the first appearance of Wolverine, you know, which is debatable, let's say, but I'm going to go with Incredible Hulk 181. That's the standard. So the first appearance of Wolverine, it was maybe in a 7.5 worth like $7,000. And you know, it might go down to $6,000, but you know what, it's worth more even at the dip than it was when you originally started 5 years ago, and you may have bought it for like you know, $1,000, so and you're making thousands of dollars
with all the basically endless reboots. You know, it's going to get hot again once the, you know, MC Universe Wolverine hits the scene. You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's perpetual, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, it just feeds itself. And it's just, we're at the point now where the comic book films and television series have made so many billions of dollars for studios that there is no way in hell that this will ever die. It will slow down. Yes, just like the sales of comic books, just like the popularity of certain characters. Sure. But
yeah.
Never go away. Do you still remember Blade?
Of course.
Right. And you probably, those that were around, remember the Wesley Snipes movies of Blade, all three of them that he had. And yeah. At that time, that book, which is Tomb of Dracula number 10, his first appearance, was an incredibly hot book. And then it died. It dropped like a rock. But you know what? Everybody still remembered who Blade was and still remember the character.
Yeah.
So eventually they were going to do something again with that property. So smart people, after those movies ended, they said they weren't going to do anymore. The popularity is at an all-time low. You should have bought multiple copies of that, even if it was a couple $100 each, and just sat on them. Sat on them for, 10, 15 years or something, and then sold for thousands of dollars. You know, that's where the money is. But, you know, with comic books, it's more of a long game that you have to play. The example with the stock market, it's not always a quick turnaround. You know?
Yeah, you got to know when's the best time to unload.
Yep. I think Ultimate Fallout 4 was one of the quickest turnarounds, and I think that's at like 12 to 14 years, maybe, somewhere around there. I'm not 100%. Might have been 10. But I think it was like, you know, one of the quickest turnarounds as far as like buying the book. I bought three of them off the shelf when I heard of the character, and I was like, oh, just in case, you know? And I think I paid $3, $4 each for them. And then I sold one of them for $148. I graded the other two. They both came out at 9/8, and I sold one of them for $1,040 straight up.
Baby.
Yeah. So that paid for it. You know what I mean? And a lot of my comic books that I bought after that. So it was a long-term investment, but it came around really fast compared to a lot of the other characters. Like if you were banking on the first appearance of Tooth Grinder and Tooth Gnasher, you know, the goats from Thor, Love, and Thunder. Well, you were going to be waiting a long goddamn time for a very small turnaround in profitability, let me tell you. Aren't the characters that you want to sit on and wait, you know, and spec on for hard investments. Those aren't it. It's always going to be the heroes. The heroes are what drives the book. The villains come and go. Like, if Lex Luthor's gone in fighting Superman, Brainiac's fighting Superman, or Doomsday's fighting Superman, Mongol, you know, there's other villains, but there's only one Superman, you know, technically.
Yeah.
Only one Clark Kent anyway. So you always bank on the superheroes is what I tell everybody. Bank on the hero.
Yeah. I thank you for the lesson on this acetate gate. My blood and crease my pages. And
did it? How creased? Honestly, on a scale collusion. Of 1 to 10, how creased are your pages?
Well, they're not at a 10 because it feels like justice is happening.
Yes.
So that makes me very happy that, you know, the market, you know, the fan base is able to turn it around and kind of kind of show these assholes that, hey, you know, you're not going to just like cheapen our passions like this. So I'm happy. So, yeah, I'm not out of 10, but had there not been justice and these people were, like, you know, making all this money off nonsense, still, I'd be pretty upset.
But yeah, yeah. I'd say my level of frustration on crease pages, I would put me at an 8. It just made me super angry, particularly because of the influencer involvement and what they did to all those people in line. I thought that was really dirty of
them. Yeah, the line one, for some reason, kind of hit me at an emotional place. Definitely.
Yep. Didn't appreciate that at all. As somebody that stood many lines for shit, I could very much empathize and sympathize with those people that lost out, even if it ended up being bullshit, even if it turned out that they were saved from a disgraceful cover and a disgraceful book from a disgraceful company. It still is kind of, you know, frustrating, and I could totally see it. So I'd put it at an 8 for me. My pages are pretty creased. Even a press and a clean wouldn't probably make it up any higher of a grade. So that's where I'm leaving it at.
Well, I thank you for, I'm glad I was able to go in blind and yeah, have you get all the outs for me.
Viewed it out. I just was like a rocket. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I was obviously pretty angry and needed to get this off my chest.
You were a man on a mission.
And I hope everybody that listened appreciated and are listening is appreciating this this rant that has happened. And now you know what has happened and why people are so upset. And, you know, come other conventions, there's going to be some people that are going to be side-eyeing each other for sure, that's especially the influencers. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, anything you would like to add to this before we close out?
Well, I do have a minor...
this afternoon or whenever the hell you're listening, I guess.
I do have a minor creasing my pages kind of situation. And I realize ultimately it's my own folly. But
okay,
a lot of times with Facebook, I'm pretty irate with the non-level of comic book IQ, I guess, that's associated with, like, fandom pages, you know, it's, and then I, you know, it's always something silly, like, you know, 10 people that could like beat Superman without breaking a sweat. And it's just, it's nonsense. It's all nonsense.
Right.
It comes from people that are not very comic literate as far as history, or they'll have an article and there will be some sort of like typo or misprint. And I realized I'm playing into their hands by pointing out the typo or saying, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Like, I've already lost if I'm writing that as a response. And
I'm
a little bit mad at myself that I'm so silly and I'm kind of falling into this. Like, I wish I could think of specific examples, but, you know, like this one comes up a lot where Cyclops, it's just concussive force. You know, his eye blast, it's not heat based, but things have gotten a little squirrely with different writers. And, you know, unfortunately, it's created this like just confusion. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that heat
blast. Did it? I always thought it was an optic blast. Blast. I didn't know it was a heat blast. I thought it was an optic blast. So I guess
I had always known it to be like, yeah, it was like a force. You know, it's not heat. But
no,
there's not like some editor is somewhere along the line fell asleep and wasn't paying attention. But yeah, that really creases my pages, and I'm more mad at myself, like I said, for engaging in it.
I'm learning
not to do that. But it was a lesson that I should have learned a long time ago, to be perfectly honest.
It's a tough lesson to learn.
Friends and they just laugh at me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the comic book community, it is always kind of going to be a bit silly when people have an argument. You know, it's just the way it is. Like, Hulk, the Incredible Hulk could kill Superman. You're an idiot, you know. No, Superman could kill. You know what I mean? It's like, it's all debatable. It's all semantics in a made up world type scenario. I get that, but
yeah,
I could totally see why you'd be frustrated. So yeah, that would crease my pages a little bit too.
Yeah. I have a smaller, minor one I just want to bring up.
All right.
I don't read a lot of like modern comic books anymore just because I'm having so much fun going back to reading stuff, you know, I read when I was a little kid and, you know, stuff I missed out on. But, one thing I really enjoyed as a little kid, and you rarely see this in modern comic books, is a scene on the cover that you can find in the comic book. I want that to return, because too often it's just like a pose, or it's, you know, it's a cool shot, obviously, but it doesn't fit with anything that's happening inside the pages.
Oh my God. Like, when DC does this with their movies that are coming out, and every comic book comes out with a cover B, the variant cover, and that variant cover has different scenarios for example, the Suicide Squad. So yes. King Shark and Harley Quinn were like on 30 different covers for the month. And you're like, what the fuck? And often you got to read on the side and it says, oh, this is Flash issue 770 something.
Yeah,
what,
exactly.
What the hell?
It doesn't even fit. Yeah, that's like a portion of what I mean. But yeah, I would say that fits in.
Yeah, Yeah, I get that. Yeah. So that's kind of what you're talking about. And I totally understand that. It's like watching a trailer and seeing the funniest fucking like thing happen. And then you go into the movie for that and it doesn't happen. They took it out, you know? Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? This was the funniest thing ever. Yeah. Why is it not in the movie?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was just really fun as a little kid to like have the nice big splash page of the cover and finding the panel that it would correspond to. You know, I'm thinking like 80s Marvel books, you know, this word fit. It was fun. It made the world more realized for me as a youngster.
I can see that. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up. I want to again thank you, Caleb, for being a guest on here and unleashing some of your page creasing abilities for our audience. I do appreciate that very much.
I mean, mine were minor. I felt like I was listening to a man on a mission, you know, putting the world in its correct spot. So I sit at the feet of the Donaldo.
Trying to right the wrongs, to right all the wrongs, but I can only do so much. So
this will be a therapy session for you, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, I was laying down on a couch, actually, when I said all this, so that's probably where that came from. So I want to thank you again and thank the audience, everybody that's listening right now. We actually do these podcasts quite a bit. We usually about once a week, we have an audio podcast land that is on all the audio podcast platforms, Podbean, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, we're on it. We also have a live show, which is usually almost every Monday. Sometimes every other Monday, just depending. And if we don't do a live, we'll usually do a pre-recorded kind of an interview or just an episode of something that's pretty fun that you can watch that releases on that day. So you can find that on YouTube under the Rumblespoon Productions banner. That is a production company that does help us produce this. And we are, again, The Real Short Box. Thank you again for listening, Caleb. Thanks for being on. Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you at the comic shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.